off the ball.
Rugby.
It's the first time I've seen a real confidence and a swagger in their attack. Cohesion in passing and stuff, and that's quite telling.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.
It is football power rankings time, and I have had a sneak peek, and there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. There's a lot of action. This could take a while, Tommy Rooney.
Hello, Michael. Yeah. Have I been looking forward to this?
A lot of food for thought over the course of the last few days. You've been pen and paper in hand, just tinkering, getting people up and down.
Yeah. It's been a crazy summer of football, and it's been brilliant. And I think back in the day when these power rankings first started, Owen Sheehan had it easy. He could leave the Dubs at the top of the table. He could keep Kerry down low and wait for a late charge and they'd fall short. But nowadays, anyone can beat anyone. And can I bring you back to Clarny a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, go on.
Can I just bring you to something Jim McGuinness said in the post-match press conference that kind of got missed? And I actually think Jim McGuinness said it best about just how close things are between counties at the minute around the country. Have a listen to this.
You can't, in my opinion anyway, you can't put a line of form through football anymore. It's just an impossible thing. It's really about when you arrive at a big game now, how many fellas are healthy. And, you know, our boys arrived today in decent shape, but we were patching three or four or five of them up to try and get as many minutes out of them as possible, you know. But like Kerry are in a much more difficult situation. Armagh are in a much more difficult situation in terms of, you know, with the injuries they got. It's gone on in Galway for the last number of years. They're starting to get them back. So it's not about, you know, you're there and they're there and they're there and there's a line of form. It's not horses anymore. It's literally who can arrive the healthiest into a big game.
So that's partners up. Getting through to the quarterfinal with one more game.
Exactly. That's why we targeted this game, even though it was a difficult game to come, it was a difficult challenge to come. If we can win that game, we have 3 weeks in. If we can win that game, we have a fortnight. We have two games played and we're a quarterfinal. And that gives us, you know, you'd like to think that you don't lose many people in training. So, you know, it's the games that really cause the issues. And it's a big, big problem for everybody, you know.
There you go. And just shows why this isn't a minor hiccup for Donegal losing at the weekend. I had a thought yesterday, Tommy, and bring this back to what Jim said there, absolutely. But it's the first time I've ever felt as though this parody might not just be an early season phenomenon, that we're now at a point where I'm not going to say I'm going to pick any old team to win the All-Ireland, but of the team that are left, if we get to the stage where Louth or Cork or Monaghan, Westmeath are in a semi-final, it's not like we're writing off that semi-final, you know, or even the final, you know what I mean? We could get to it. Like there are still levels and you've been ranking them and that's the entire point of this, but 11 teams in the top 11, without giving anything away, have changed places. This week we don't, you know, know and like, that shows you how close they all are to each other
for sure. And I heard the debate you guys had on the news round last night and kind of enjoyed listening to Arthur taking a slightly different side on things, as he often does, but I do think it's a little different, and I'm with you on it. The one thing I'd say though is I think we've got to split the season into various parts. There's the league, where the wind is a massive factor with the new rules. It just is. Okay, so the league is one thing. Then you have the provincials, where maybe it matters a little bit more to counties like Westmeath and even Roscommon, who haven't won a huge amount of them over the years, to get over the line of Monaghan and maybe put more stock early on. Maybe Meath should have put more stock in that. But like, there's the provincials. And then we've seen the All-Ireland series. There isn't a single unbeaten team left in the championship. I think we've just got to nearly shake off what we felt about previous winners and previous campaigns. We're in a new world. And yes, in the first season of the new world, the most successful county that has ever existed in Gaelic football, in Kerry with 39 All-Irelands, won number 39 in the first year of the new rules. Are they still in the perfect position? Have they still got the best squad? Probably. But they're taking on Armagh this week in Killarney, and one of the contenders for the All-Ireland are going to be knocked out. The other contender, main contender, has lost twice to Tailteann Cup opposition, and Cork, who couldn't get a gallop on Kerry in Killarney before Down went down and whooped Kerry in Killarney. It's just, it's bonkers.
And not to mention, there's four teams already in the All-Ireland quarterfinals, and the only one that this year have come within an arse's roar of the top four in your power rankings. And this isn't actually to undermine your power rankings. This is I'm actually not like in the early season having a go at them as we were at the time. It's more just to underline how mad this is. The only team that have come within an arse's roar of the top four are Galway. And most of the time, they've actually been at about five.
And to be honest with you, I will defend these power rankings to the death.
But sure, no one's having a cut.
No, for sure. For sure. But the one thing I couldn't defend this week was some of the outlandish predictions on the football pod. And one of my co-hosts has a tendency to go big. It's always his attitude. You go big or you go home. And he made a fatal error this week. He went too bloody big on Cork. And it just left us open to being absolutely hammered. And there's also a thing on the pod. It's a pishog. But if the three of us pick a county, that county invariably loses. And it happened with Monaghan this week. We all backed against it. I know some of the Monaghan boys had seen the clip on Instagram that morning because they let me know afterwards. We did it with Armagh and Louth as well, which, again, wasn't as close to a 50-50 game on paper. But in a scheme, a smaller ground was a leveller. Yeah. And the atmosphere, everything about that, like, just, do you know what it does, though, Mick? It's like the roars that goes up, and I mentioned this in the power rankings a couple of weeks back, when Meath were beaten by Westmeath, the roar that went up in the Louth Wexford game and the roar that went up in Aucrum when they heard that Meath were beaten was nearly the loudest cheer of the day in those grounds. Mm. We experienced the same thing this weekend. Like, the pandemonium I experienced in Clonus on Saturday as a load of football mad fans from Monaghan and Roscommon were in front of us in the press box, and they kept turning around and asking me, what's going on? What's the score? And they had score beyond their phone. They were wired into radios. I had Paddy McBurty and Paddy Anderson, GA Plus, to my right. We were all just trying to watch the game in front of us, but enthralled by what was happening elsewhere. And the same thing happened. Myself and Kieran Whelan, like, we haven't come across each other a huge amount of press boxes, but we shared this kind of brilliant moment while he was live on CoComs in Pádraig Lodge, and he kept turning to me going, what's the score in Inniskeen? Or he'd mouth at me like, what's the score? And I had the iPad on, and we weren't watching what was happening in Cavan in Dublin. I don't know whether it came out on air, but the two of us roared when the goal went in. We grabbed each other and we roared. There's this moment for football right now, and it's I obviously get a little bit excited about it. There was a comment on TikTok yesterday that if there's two flies going up the wall, Tommy Rooney would say it was class. If there was an apple in the corner, he'd say it was class. But it's hard not to get excited about this game at the minute, because anyone can beat anyone. And the quality that we're watching is honestly so good. So it's a treat to be experiencing it live at the moment.
It is. I've loads to talk about from all of those things, including actually a little bit even on that Jim comment, but we may as well hold it till we get there in the power ranking. So we might just get it through, because there is a little bit of kind of Tailteann Cup stuff to mop up as well. We're into the semi-finals of that. So we'll go to page four here, which obviously has no changes because won't for the rest of the year, because all of these teams are out. And that's Dundalk at 33, Waterford 32, London 31, Tip 30, 29 for Limerick, 28 for Antrim, 27 for Carlow, 26 for Leitrim, 25 for Clare. Dundalk, apparently, is what I said there.
You did. I've got New York, New York. Dundalk, Dundalk.
The Dundalk Knicks had a great... They ended a 53-year wait this year. Let's go to page three, slide C even, whatever we're calling it. This is 17 to 24. I've actually got a gripe here, would you believe? And it's been one that me and Matthew not here, by the way. He took a week off after Westmeath's first defeat of the season. He was here after every single win, but he took a week off when they finally lost the game. Longford at 24. Sligo drop a couple of places to 23. Wexford drop a couple of places to 22. Leash to 21. They're down 2. Wicklow up 3 to 19. And Fermanagh up 4. Fermanagh have had a brilliant Tailteann Cup and absolutely hammered Sligo. To which I want to mention, we had a beef with you. Sligo lost well to Tipperary earlier in the competition. They lost to Leitrim. Their draw was very kind to them. I believe they had London and Waterford, 31 and 32 in the rankings. I think your absolute devotion to Sligo football and keeping them in page three of this power rankings has done a disservice to how poor they've been in this year's championship.
And I'm going to hold my hands up here and say that much like the Sligo footballers, I've let myself down.
I think they scored 4 points at the weekend, did they?
They scored nine.
9 points.
But between the 5th and the 69th minute of the game, they were outscored by 225 to 5 points by Fermanagh. They were wiped. And I can't quite put my finger on what's happened. I haven't got enough eyes on them over the last little while. When I look at Sligo on paper, when I look at their form over the last couple of seasons, you're looking at a side there that probably should have beaten Galway in the Connacht Championship. You know, Rob Finnerty pulled out the Cole Palmer with the last minute goal. You're looking at a side that got the Tailteann Cup semi-finals, that got very close. And sometimes it just doesn't happen for a team, and it hasn't happened for them all year. I don't think we need to rub it in anymore to Sligo. You can rub it into me all you like, but
I'm genuinely not trying to rub into something. I'm just like, if we're doing these things, that's one thing. I just think it's a discrepancy that I've probably noticed all year. And they won their couple of games, which got them off. But if you actually analyse what they look at, who they beat and so on, and who they've lost, I think they're doing well to be up that high. And actually, it's not about rubbing it in. It's more about like,
correct,
that's a team who should be a little bit better, I think. And that, you know, a few questions probably need to be asked there.
There's a couple of teams there that will look at their power rankings and their 2026 season. Clare would be one.
Yeah.
Very poor. Antrim probably could be a little bit higher there, you could argue. Limerick could be very disappointed. Sligo, incredibly disappointed. Wexford, after a good league campaign, kind of flattered to deceive. But like, down Offaly, Wicklow, Fermanagh, they're the top four in the power rankings in terms of the Tailteann Cup teams. And the way I've laid them out there kind of gives a hint that I would be expecting a Down and Offaly Tailteann Cup final, but they are going to be, those games in Croke Park are going to take on a life of their own. And they're actually brilliant semi-finals last year. And we're in this situation now, and I know you're aware of it, Mick. There's two All-Ireland Hurling quarterfinals. There is the All-Ireland round-robin stage in the Camogie Championship, the All-Ireland round-robin stage in the Ladies Football Championship. There is Tailteann Cup semi-finals, and there are four box office All-Ireland series preliminary quarterfinals this weekend. We are eating ourselves alive in the GAA, and I don't quite know how we get away from that.
Yeah, look, I wasn't going to bring it up, but you brought it up here anyway. We talked about this on Off the Ball last night. I don't understand what difference another week would make. If that is, again, it's like, it's not to even have a conversation about the split season. It's just that the county season that the GAA, running off two sports, you're bringing in LGFA and Camogie, not at the moment their responsibility, but will soon become so, right? But even just Gaelic football and hurling, and a showcase, if we can, on a proper secondary competition, especially in football, then like, we need to leave enough weeks in the year to have those competitions as they're designed. And one thing that we didn't mention last night in any real way was that for Donegal, for Kerry or Armagh, for Donegal or Dublin, sorry, Kerry or Armagh, and the other, also the other two games, but you're taking the three favourites for the All-Ireland there. They're going to go into the All-Ireland quarter-final playing 3 weeks in a row. That doesn't happen at any other point in the season. And the reason it doesn't happen is because they don't think that's an optimal way for people to play football. So why on the biggest game of the year so far, when Croke Park is going to have All-Ireland quarterfinals, are we going to have, for the first time all year, lads playing the third week in a row? Jim McGuinness was talking earlier about how many bodies you have turning up to games and stuff like that. I know they're putting themselves in that position for losing games. It's not as if it's, you know, there has to be a punishment or there has to be a disadvantage, I suppose. But at the same time, everybody's lost a game, and it just depends what you did this week.
Yeah, and you can go back to McGuinness's comments there about bodies and getting bodies on the field, and that is also important. Kerry last year were maybe lucky that they faced Cavan at this stage, and it allowed them to get to Croke Park with maybe bodies back in a few more minutes, and they could do it. And then they were ready for Armagh. Like, you can't not risk, fellas, this week. Like, Donegal against Dublin, I would not be taking the Dubs for granted.
No, I'm not. I actually misspoke there. I really am not at the moment.
I know you're not, but from Donegal, I know they won't. And likewise, Kerry and Armagh, that is literally like two of the big dogs and two All-Ireland contenders. One of them are going to be taken out. It is not right. And it is not optimum. And it's very difficult to have a mature debate about it or a conversation about it. And You know, I still play senior club championship football. I played in a dual club in Clare and I love it. And I know you're saying it's not a split season common, but people are very protective given how bad things were for the club player back in the day. People are militant about their how much they want to protect the split season. But we do need to have a look at it. We do need to figure something out. And it could be that we're taking away a league game from the National Football League, or it could be that the provincials are changing, or it could be that, you know, we obviously withdrew a group stage game and it's a better format this year, I believe, for the football. We could be changing other things, but there is a lot of things we need to do and sit down and figure out with the calendar. And now is the time to do it because the sport is in such a good place.
Yeah. So if you look at, say, you're playing football in Clare, right? There are, you're in a group of five, are you?
Group of four.
So you have three games and then in the knockout.
Three get through in our group. Yeah, and three get through in our group as well because it's seeded. We have three semi-finalists from last year in our group. So
how many rounds of fixtures are there in a football championship?
We'll have three, but like for a lot of our players, they will play three group hurling games, three group football games week on week, so 6 weeks in a row.
I understand that, absolutely. And I'm not complaining. But what I'm saying is if you were given a calendar that said there are... you have three, but then you have to play all the other games. So there's seven rounds to win a county championship, right? You're given 10 championship dates at the start of the year. You don't necessarily have to push every county's championship back then, if that's the case, right? So that's 20 weeks needed, say, in Clare, say, where it's a proper dual county and it's week on, week off, right? You've 20 weeks there on a calendar for 14 games. For 14 weeks of fixtures. And then if Clare go far, if they go into the All-Ireland Hurling Final, those dates are the latter half of that, and that's fine. But they're still, you've been given them at the start of the year. There's not messing with them. And if they're out early, as the majority of teams will be, you could start them nice and early. You can have a couple of weeks off here and there, and your dates are, that's your 20-week window. Our counties, there's no joined-up thinking. This should be a centralised... Yeah. Centrally led, not necessarily all decisions made. Every county should have their own nuances and all. But there's counties holding back their leagues, Tommy, and you know that as well as anyone.
I do. And look, I am trying to bite my lip here because I fully advocate for what you just said. A plan B break in case of emergency. And it's a good emergency because that means that you're one of four counties in an All-Ireland semi-final. So you have a plan A for your county championship and a plan B if your county gets far enough for your club championships. And I have previously said it, and I understand I used the wrong word at the time and it blew up. There was a lot of people from Cork and Galway got very angry with me. I said county championships around the country, and I'm using the wrong word here because I used it at the time. I said it was cowboy stuff. What I meant was it's the Wild West. That is what I meant. And it's the fact that you've just said and you've articulated way better. Every county has its own way of doing things, its own tradition. I'm just off a really good chat with John McGrath, 25 hurler of the year, who's getting ready to play mid-divisional championships with Lochmar Castellini and then go let that feed into their actual senior chat. And it's brilliant. There's great quirks, but there's loads of different ways the championships have happened. I think HQ, Crow Park, there needs to be some sort of central system, as you've said, and there needs to be some sort of a conversation around trying to figure this out and making it a little bit better. And it's not to do with media or TV or anything like that. It's to do with the players. It's to do with the amount of injuries that certain club players are having. It's a much bigger conversation. But like, there are the top tier of our footballers and hurlers are playing nearly 13 months of the year round. And they're getting a couple of weeks off. The Bridges boys, the Dingle boys, the Mike Cullen lads who suffered big injuries, the Fussa lads who suffered injuries after their club seasons a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Look, it's a bit much bigger conversation for another day. We're in the middle of it now and it's obvious some of the issues, but it needs a lot of joined up thinking, as you've said.
Yeah. My thing with it is this isn't always a lads just want more county weeks and so on and at the expense that they don't care about the club thing. I just think that if you were more organized in what way the club season looks like, we would actually have more weeks. And again, every GEA club player is a county fan as well, you know, or wants to be a county player or whatever it might be. They don't want this to be all on top of each other. Nobody can watch everything they want to watch next week. I'm going to be driving down to Turles during the Armagh Kerry game. That's devastating. You know, we don't want that. We want to be able to see the big games, like, you know. But anyway, can I move back to the Tata Cup before we go on to the bigger teams or the higher ranked teams, I should say. Because Fermanagh are up four places, which is a big L rank. They've been brilliant. They, you know, they had a really good second half against Armagh in the Ulster Championship, and they hammered Longford, and they obviously hammered Sligo. They've been a real success story of the Tata Cup. We have Down, we have Offaly, but Wicklow, their win at the weekend, Torna in here, big Wicklow fan. He was demanding a bit of airtime for Wicklow on the show last night, and we didn't get a chance for it. But their mad comeback in their win at the weekend. We're going to play a little bit of East Coast Radio, which we don't do a lot on the show, but we're going to give it a quick play here.
69-14 with the ball. Joe Prendergast into Dean Healy. Will he have a run at it? He might as well. 69-22, 69-30 seconds. Dean Healy's gone right through. Dean Healy with the ball. Dean Healy over the bar! It's gone over the bar!
Oh, what a score there for Dean Healy. Just the captain's role when you want the captain there. So we have a point up here now with 15 seconds left.
Antrim have the ball. 10 seconds left. 9 seconds. 8 seconds left. Antrim with the ball. Into Shivers. Shivers on the left foot. Up in the air. Where's it going to land? There's the Hoover. And it's in there! We won! We won! Oh, we won!
Oh, what a win here for Wicklow!
We won, we won. Oh, that's magic local commentary. And I'm sorry, again, that was a clip that I had for last night that we never got around to, so I don't actually have the commentary team's name in front of me, but it's East Coast Radio, and I just love it. I mean, and that's how much it means. Antrim had a huge, huge lead in that game, and Wicklow pulled them back. And Dean Healy, we had him on the show last year, has been a bit of a hero of Wicklow football as well for years now. So I was delighted for that. And again, this is a team that had a really shocking first round of the Tata Cup. You were like, where's that come from? Because everything under Oisín McConville, it seemed like it was pointing upwards, you know, and now they are once again pointing upwards in the Tommy Rooney GAA off the ball power rankings.
It was Michael Sargent on commentary there for East Coast FM. And I loved the hooer and the countdown from 10 to 1. It's just, I think it's beautiful. Look, I made a very impassioned plea on News Talk with John at 6 o'clock on Sunday about the fact that we need to regulate and even out the technology in GA grounds at the minute. And we'll get to the Hooter and Inniskeen on the clock in a minute. But Wicklow, like, it's fine lines, Michael, in life, in the power rankings, in sport. Wicklow were in a very commanding position against Longford in the league and had promotion in their hands back at the end of March. And they let a 9-point lead slip late on. And now the inverse has happened later in the summer. And it just shows you the spin you can put on your year. Like, are you, like, yes, they wanted to get promoted out of Division 4, okay? But maybe this will allow them to have a bigger winter and go and produce. They were very unlucky last year in Croke Park in the Tailteann Cup. They put in a brilliant performance and fell short against Limerick. Maybe this year they go and do it and they pull off a shock and maybe they go and achieve a Tailteann Cup win and they get this mad team holiday later in the year and they have put in a really big winter, you know, outside of their club work where they're growing as a group, because that's what a lot of counties need. Dermot McCabe made that point to me afterwards. He was like, I hope I'm allowed to say it, but we need to do a hell of a lot of work between now and next November to be ready to rock, because we were not in the right shape last year starting into this year to make progress. And that's what these teams need. Kieran McGeaney made the point speaking to the press in Inniskeen as well. I heard him saying at the Cahir O'Cain in particular that in previous years, the likes of a Kerry or a Dublin would have trained for 12, 13 weeks longer than everyone else because their season would have gone on. Everyone else would have been left waiting or gone back to the clubs and they would get extra 3 months every year. Mm. And you can imagine how that builds on itself and builds on itself. And maybe that's why the form lines have closed in, is that counties are spending more time together, teams are spending more time together and the gap is closing that little bit more. So it's one of the reasons, I think. And for Wicklow, just fair play to them. There's a lot of quality operators there. I've caught up with plenty of them in the last year or so. And good to see them get themselves back into Tailteann Cup semi-final.
Yeah, so Saturday in Croke Park, Down, Fermanagh and Offaly Wicklow. So it'll be an Ulster-Leinster Tailteann Cup final one way or another. Let's go to slide B. Lots of changes here. Going up from the bottom up, right? So you have Cavan at 16 and Kildare at 15.
No, I actually made a mistake there and I'll have to actually correct. I had actually switched Cavan to 15 and Kildare dropped to 16.
Okay, and I think that's fair enough as well. Kevin, probably their first half performance and maybe their performances all the way through the season, probably a little bit more competitive than Kildare. But I do think they did look like the two teams that were, when we're talking about this, it does seem like there's 14 teams. And maybe in another world Down become one of them or whatever. But at the moment, Kildare and Cavan just seem to be outside of it. And then at 14, you have Derry, who, again, definitely not as far off. But again, we were talking last night about Armagh's ability to keep teams in the game. The only time this year that I never thought, even though the scoreline wasn't insane, I just never thought Derry were going to bother the scoreline. Or I didn't think Derry were going to cause a massive comeback against Armagh and force extra time like everybody else does. And I didn't feel it on Saturday against Meath either. So it's just like the continuous kind of like this generation never kicked on, never got beyond Ulster, and it just feels like that moment might be past for them. But Meath did win. Meath don't move up despite their win. It's their first win of the championship season. But just from your point of view, Tommy, as a Meath fan, it was shit or get off the pot, really, on Saturday night. Like, it could have been a disastrous year. It was a tough enough draw to have to go away to Derry. But they did do it, you know? And I think as well, Cork's performance in Ballybuffet and Westmeath's performances all season kind of paint a different picture for what we might see from Meath. You know, Meath might not be far away at all.
And I genuinely don't think they are, but if they had gone and lost three championship games in the spin after getting promoted to Division One, like, it would have been a very disappointing year. And, you know, as a Meath man, looking at the performance of Donal Keoghan at the weekend, just how he embodied from the first minute where he rounds the keeper and gets the first score of the game with a goal, like the brilliant composure. Meath missed a huge goal chance against Cork. Instead of going 8-up, they're 8-up at the break, it could have been 11-up just before half time. They needed a little bit more composure. I actually witnessed a lot of goal chances being missed. There's an incredible amount of goal chances being created at the moment, but how Keoghan took it, but his runs at the end of the game when Meath were only 2 points up and had maybe made a couple of bad decisions in game management in the defeat to Westmeath and the defeat to Cork, Keoghan was making line-breaking runs with 30 seconds to go. And the celebrations at the end, just man of the match, fabulous performance. There is not much between 13th and the top few. There really isn't. But you got to go prove it. And I just think Meath and Mayo this weekend, you're talking about, you know, being on the road for Kerry and Armagh. Like, we have got Kerry, Armagh, Dublin and Clare and Meath and Mayo all on around the same time this Saturday.
But Meath and Mayo literally overlap with the hurling quarterfinal, as does Monaghan and Westmeath with the Cork Offaly. I just think it's a shame, like, you know.
It is a shame. And like, that is going to be a hell of a game. And Paul Falloon is refereeing the game. I really enjoy watching games that Paul Falloon referees, because he doesn't blow the whistle that often. Fouls. It's a little bit like a hurling referee. And there was very few frees at the weekend, you know, that could be converted. And I think that allows the teams to, in a do or die knockout game, to go that little bit harder and that little bit more of an edge to it. And I think there's going to be a real edge in Castlebar, because they're two very young teams. I'd say that. Two very young teams that don't quite know where their ceiling is yet. But big opportunity ahead of them. Meath haven't moved. Dublin haven't moved.
No.
But I was impressed with the Dubs now in a lot of ways. They were clinical. They're still missing something. There's a spark, or there's, like, young James Sargent comes in for Derry at the weekend and scores 1-2. I'm still waiting for the Dubs to bring someone in from left field that, you know, Sean Guidon's come off the bench and hit a couple of nice scores, and Jack Lundy has impressed at times. But I think there could be somebody somewhere in Dublin football that just emerges in the next 18 months and catches the attention. So Dublin are missing a little bit of a spark, but like, Conn scores 1-9, Padraig Coffey-Gobern is back, Lee Gannon is better. But you'd be worried that Cormac Costello goes off injured. Sean Bugler missed the game with an injury. Brian Howard seemed to go off injured as well. So where Dublin are at this week, and they also lost the Nenner or Nowhere debate as well, because Ger Brennan made the point afterwards that he wanted to play in Parnell Park. But
it wasn't Nenner or Nowhere. Come on now.
A lot of Donegal fans were worried that the Dubs might get their way. I didn't really think there was ever a chance, to be honest. Just kind of knowing how these things work.
Well, it was my information is that it was Dublin who ultimately decided, but it was on the pushback from the CCCC, who would have had to had basically the entire allocation taken up by season ticket holders. So it was like, here's what you have, go make the decision. That's why the fixtures were slightly delayed, but it was Dublin who eventually made the call. And I'd say if the county board had their way, they wouldn't have delayed it at all. And it was a bit of placating for Ger, I would imagine. It's like, yeah, put it in Croker. And a game of that size should be in Croker, but it does show you where Dublin are, I think, at the moment, that they are
looking for
alternatives.
It would have been a leveler, though. You'd have to say it would have been a leveler, because Donegal are a different animal in Crow Park, and I expect them to be this Sunday.
And they've lost three in a row in Ballybuffet. What about Roscommon, though? Because we talked about a mover of five places earlier in the year. This is a down six. This is a rapid. You didn't really penalise them for the Tyrone defeat, but obviously when they go out and put in such a, I was going to say wimpy, I think probably lame or tame performance against Monaghan to go out of the championship, I think they have to be.
Yeah. Again, I'm going to reference back to the chat I had with John McGrath earlier today that's out later. I asked him what it's like looking around the dressing room after you're trying to figure out what went wrong. And there's a lot of grey in sport. You know, we can look at it in a black and white way, and fans can look at it. And I know you use the word wimpy there, but it was a limp way for Roscommon. It was limp, like. It was poor. It was fellas waiting on someone else to come on and do something. It was not feeling sorry for yourself, right? Because that's not what happens on a football field. But there was just no edge. And I heard Kieran Murtagh chatting to you last night about it, that you're looking for a big hit or the crowd to get into it with you. And like Roscommon trying to figure out why that's happened to them over the last little while. I really hope the Rossies figure out in the winter what they're missing. I really hope they do, because they have the footballers in this new era to do unbelievable damage. And they have the speed, they have the power, they have the size, and they have the forwards up front. They have the markers, they have a really good goalkeeper, a couple of good goalkeepers, but a really good goalkeeper in Conor Carroll. They've depth. But like, I had to drop them six places. If I could have dropped them more, I probably would have. I just thought that was being a bit too dramatic. But six as Connacht champions is a big drop in my head, in my heart. It was hard to drop them that far.
Yeah.
But I had to, because it was so poor in that second half against Monaghan.
They could have arguably got below Dublin, given that performance, you know. Like, I have to say, not to belabor the point, we've a lot to get to here, but like, every year Roscommon have gone on a run in, you know, the Connacht Championship or whatever, I've always thought, you know, it'll come back, you know. I wouldn't really fancy them against one of the big teams, quarterfinals, anything like that. And this year it was completely different. I really did think this was a year where actually they've all the answers. They could give anyone a go. And again, as I was saying to Kieran Murtagh last night, it wasn't that they lost the games, and even the Tyrone game is fine, but it wasn't that they lost to Monaghan. It was that they went out so meekly. And that's a disappointment, because they do need to figure that out, because they were good earlier in the year, and that includes in the league as well. Westmeath drop a couple to 10. My impression that game was said more about Galway than it did about Westmeath, but it was their first defeat and they did stay with them, and they're not going to be an easy out for anyone, I would say.
Now, I would say Matthew was on holidays. In previous weeks when Matthew's been on holidays, he's made it very clear that he was happy to break away from his holidays and hop onto the power rankings. He didn't this week, okay? So I think that says a lot about Matthew.
As a man.
But as a Westmeath fan. But what I would say about Westmeath, I watched this game back very late on before the pod on Sunday night when I got home, for a couple of reasons. I wanted to get a read on Galway, really. And Westmeath were competitive and they were in it. But they were 9 points down with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And yes, they got a couple of a late goal on the break, and they got an incredible two-pointer for Sam McCartan. But I do think Galway were a good bit better. And it reminded me a little bit, not quite the same, but a little bit of Mayo Monaghan, in the sense that Monaghan were 11 down with 20 to go, but Monaghan have kind of shown us that they have this quality and they can do that. And they got a lot closer, in my opinion, Monaghan did to Mayo, than Westmeath actually got the Galway. So that's why Westmeath have dropped two. It's a little harsh.
It's fine, though, because it's all very close. But I do think that as well, it should be taken into account that Westmeath lost a couple of their big players, Ray Kinnellan, one or two more, I think. But again, sure, like, are we thinking they've any chance to be back? Everything is such a quick turnaround at this stage. Like, if you get an injury, you get a niggly injury, you could be out for the rest of the season with nothing, like, you know, and that's an issue at the moment, obviously. Mayo down three. I don't know if you want to dwell on that, or maybe we can take Mayo and Tyrone together if we go into the next page, because we need to hurry it up a little bit. So we'll move on to page one. So Mayo are at 9. Monaghan have gone up 3 to 8. You can see the big reveal there. That's Kerry with their big win over Kildare. And more to say probably about our man Donegal. So I'll start at the top here. Kerry have got up a couple to 1. Galway have got up to 2. Armagh have dropped 1 to 3. Donegal dropped 3 places all the way down to 4. Cork up in the lofty heights. They were barely making page 2 earlier in the year. They're in 5. Louth are up at 6. They've been up and down as well, but a solid, really great couple of weeks for them. Tyrone up into that first page, 3 places up. We might just start there, Tommy, because again, I don't know. I don't mean to be blowing my own trumpet or anything like that, but I did. I was firing some Chirons for Tyrone earlier in the year. I liked what I saw against Armagh. I liked the fact that they had 6 weeks to wait in the long grass and figure themselves out a little bit and get some bodies back. You weren't hearing great things, so that didn't come from nowhere. But I thought they were impressive. I thought like it looked like Darren McCurry was Darren McCurry again. Those two midfielders, like going all the way back to 2021, they're Conn and Kennedy, they're still. You know, as good as anyone on their day when you play to their strengths. Kieran McGeary still looks like he's got it. Matty Donnelly, we talked about him again last night. Like, oh, just what a footballer he is. I like Tyrone, I have to say. I don't know if I'd like them to win the All-Ireland, but I wouldn't like to have drawn them.
This was a massive game. And I'm going to give you credit. You were adamant on Tyrone earlier in the year. And that is why I don't just sit in front of a camera and talk as if I know everything when it comes to this, and it's so important that you guys can pick out a county or two or a hole or two, because there's the odd blind spot when you're trying to look at the former lines for 33 counties. I'll put my hand up on that. Not that I'd given up on Tyrone, but two back-to-back wins by a point says an awful lot about a team, about the metal, about the gut, and it was both against Roscommon and Mayo. And you can't coach that. You can't buy that gut. Like that is something in them as footballers and as people and as a team that probably have an All-Ireland title in the bones and in their loins. And that is like, and even the underage talent coming through, like Ronan Cassidy was brilliant the last day, you know, just so impressive. And I haven't seen a huge amount of this Gosson. And then the dazzler comes in, like McCurry, like it's nearly like two fingers to everybody. Like I should be starting and he mightn't start, but to come in and win man of the match and impact the game like that. Like we've seen Casey Byrne in the Loud Dublin game, in the round one game, come in and win man of the match 25 minutes to go. And likewise with McCurry. I just think that an all-star, I made a big case a couple of years ago for a certain super sub to get an all-star and it fell short. I do think we're going to have a couple of fellas this year getting all-star nominations that may not necessarily have been starters in their teams, because it's such a big thing nowadays to be able to finish a game the right way.
Who was
McCurry
the
last day? Soupy Campbell, I thought, should have got an all-star in 24.
Oh, yeah.
An all-star nomination.
I had a madder take to that.
Go.
2011.
Yeah.
Kevin McMenamin should have been Footballer of the Year.
Possibly.
Because Dublin wouldn't have won about 4 matches if he didn't come off the bench and do what he did. And what more defines why they wouldn't All-Ireland? If it was MVP versus or Footballer of the Year, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a mad take. Don't worry about it.
Anyway. It's a bit mad. It's a bit left field. A bit thrown. I'm trying to remember. Bernard won it in 10 and Alan Brogan won it in 11.
Alan won it in 11. Yeah, I wouldn't take it away from him. But, you know, I just thought that it was a take that was worthy of debate, I would have thought.
I like it. I wondered, was it debated back then? But no.
Everyone said I was an idiot. Soupy, I think, for an all-star is a very, very fair one. But I do think that McCurry, and maybe that's a good thing, but I actually don't understand why. Look, Grand, he hasn't been in the best of form, but I, again, saw signs of it earlier in the year as well. Like, I just think that's a player that, you know, you can really rely on. Like, you know, if you get him enough ball. What did he get? 6 points from 8 possessions?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of it here, right? And that maybe we underestimated, you know, because we're analysing so many different things. John Heslin starts for Westmeath the last day. Cian Hernan marked him from Galway and absolutely targeted Heslin going the other way. And I think managers, inter-county managers, have flagged this and tagged it. There's only a certain amount of fellas they can have in a team that not are a luxury, but that you want to use their qualities down the stretch, if you get me. So why isn't Oisin O'Neill starting? Oisin O'Neill is one of the 15 best footballers in Armagh right now. Yeah. Why isn't he starting? He's been trusted to come on. And maybe he'll start in Killarney, I don't know. But I think that could be a thing with, do you start McCurry and McElhone? Do you start Jordan and McCurry? I'm not quite sure. Can you start all two of them, all three of them? Do you know? Mm. Matty Donnelly's in there too. Does Donnelly have quite the legs that maybe somebody else might have? But you're taking Donnelly for his experience there. And I just think those things are coming into the game at the minute, and it's a 20-man team. And I'd say a lot of managers are looking at what the Kieran McGeaney template, or, you know, how he's using his squad at the minute. And it's really interesting. So it's a really good debate, I think. But I just think McCurry to come in and the point off the right on the right, just ridiculous. And again, such fine lines in this game. And I want to get to the rest of the slides, because I think Mayo, Monaghan, Tyrone, Westmeath, they're all very, very tightly bunched here. And for Mayo or Tyrone, it was a monumental win. It was round 2A. The winner got into the quarterfinal. It's two relatively young teams, new into their journeys under management teams. And it was huge. And like,
but when you drop when you drop Mayo three places, like, for me, I think that it's not that it's necessarily that they're any worse than they were a few days ago. It's just like, they're probably, Tyrone had more experience. Tyrone had Niall Morgan, who knew what to, you know, in that moment. And it's not that there wasn't the experience. The ball fell to the experienced man, obviously, at the end. It took a poor shot in Aidan O'Shea. But it was like, even the creation of the chance, they're just, I don't know if that wherewithal was there for a team that's been through the mill 100 times. This is a young Mayo team.
Yeah, it is a young team. But also, there's been big debates this year about fisted points, okay? And Armagh,
oh, the goal
fisted
chance,
points over the bar. The goal chance for me, Sam Callan is put through by Ryan O'Donoghue. Under the old rules, a point there is fine. Under the new rules, a point with 3 minutes to go, when the kickouts are as they are, is worth nothing. I'm sorry, it's not worth it. You're better off putting the ball wide nearly than just fisting that ball over the bar when there's a goal chance on. All it needed was a Donald Kilgan-esque step and a square over to Tommy Conroy. Commit the defender, commit Morgan. Very hard thing to do, I know that.
Yeah.
But I think Sam Callanan, and this guy is a gem. He will go to another level. But next year, against Meath, if he is bearing down on goal, and I know David McBrien got stung for this, but it was a different scenario. It was an 11-point game and Began intercepted, and they get a goal down the other side of the field. I understand the quirks here and the fine lines, but Sam Callanan had to create a goal in that situation.
Yeah. No, you have to. But that goes to the point of what they did in the next play after the Morgan kickout, where they didn't create a good chance for them. I think it comes from a game management thing that probably just isn't there in year one of a management team and a lot of young players and guys who are going to be taking over the mantle there from the likes of Aidan O'Shea over the next couple of years. So it's like, I wouldn't despair if I was Mayo. I'd be a lot more confident as a Mayo fan about the future at this stage of 26 than I would have been at this stage of 25. I just don't know if it's going to be this year.
Yeah. And you know, again, what did I say about Open All-Irelands? Invariably Kerry win them. That's what Kieran Cunningham tweeted at the weekend. It's a fable as old as the GAA. When there's an Open All-Ireland, Kerry come to town. And that is why, and I'm just going to go to this now, that is why Kerry are first. Kerry are first because they're the All-Ireland champions. They've got bodies back against Kildare. It was off Broadway. It wasn't necessarily on TV. I had a couple of people in the ground filling me in on it. A couple of sources talking about how good Kerry were in a lot of different ways. And you only get so much from watching the highlights. But, you know, Kildare did their best to try and put them under the cosh, and their kickouts didn't happen. Mark O'Shea, like Cian Darcy at the weekend for Galway, I think he contested for 8 or 9 kickouts and won 8 of them. They have such a strong platform there. They're at home. It'd be a different story if they were away in the Athletic Grounds this week. But Armagh are coming down to Killarney, and it's just going to be a ferocious atmosphere. It's going to be like a carnival. And like, Clifford is fit. They've got bodies back. I don't know how far away Shane Ryan is, but I don't think he's a million miles away. I don't think Shane Murphy loses his place this weekend if Shane Ryan is back. But Tom Sullivan is a loss. Sean O'Shea, I think, I don't know if he's going to be fit enough. I think it's a big thing to bomb him in. Like, not fit enough, but sharp enough. I don't know. Sean O'Shea, I think you use him. If he's available, I think you use him, but I don't know where he's at. But It's Sean O'Shea, Tom Sullivan, Shane Ryan. They're monumental losses. But Kerry are All-Ireland champions. They've shown us the level of quality in that squad. It's much higher than maybe the base level in other counties. And that's why Kerry are where they are. Galway are second. Galway have lost two All-Irelands in the last 4 years. Galway are a very good bloody team. Galway have big men. They have loads of shooters. I'm hearing word that Magic Thompson's going to be back in the mix very soon. Back from, you know, an injury that he picked up over in California on the East Coast, so, or the West Coast. So I think it's going to be, Galway are going to be in a really good position. They're going to be watching that quarterfinal draw and wondering, are they going to get one of the big dogs? Another big dog is going to be gone. So Galway's route is going to be dictated on Monday week.
Galway are going the opposite direction of everybody else as well, in that they're, well, I suppose lots of people are getting bodies back, but Galway are going the opposite direction of what normally happens to them over the course of a season, which is that they're actually getting healthier as it goes on. And like, you see what Matthew Tierney adds to that team, and the size and the ball winning ability of the middle eight, like, is just unbelievable. And then, like, what you probably have at the hand what Comer, Walsh and Finnerty scored, but it's 2-11 or something like that, but, like, you know, they're a, like, that as a score taking full forward line that you're able to, and then if you could dominate the skies to get it into them, it's a dangerous Galway team. I really like them, I have to say. I think they could be,
I really like them too. And if you were to build the perfect profile of a team, they'd tick an awful lot of boxes, and they have so many different dynamic. Like, Fionn McDonagh starts this game, and I've seen Fionn McDonagh at club level. I was told he was 6'7", and I didn't believe it at the time watching him live, but watching him on TV, I do think he's 6'7". Right. And he starts, and he's whipped after 20 minutes because it didn't necessarily suit. It wasn't that he was playing very bad. It just didn't suit what maybe Galway needed for the rest of the 45. Shane McGrath comes in and has a really good impact. A young fella making his way in the game as well. I just really like the options that Pádraig Joyce has and how he's using them. And I think they learned an awful lot of lessons from their Roscommon defeat. So we'll see how far they can go. Armagh back 1-3. Armagh could have been first in the power rankings this week. But that moment where they looked like they had even stopped Loud from landing a punch with seconds to go.
I talked last night about Armagh's inability to close out games, and it's been ongoing for years, and I'm not backtracking on it whatsoever, but I just have had a thought when we're talking about Jim McGuinness earlier, talking about, like, lads not being available and everything like that. Donegal have played 3 games in this championship. Armagh have played 6. That is over the course of about 9 weeks, I would say. And now, if they're to do anything, they're going to have to go to Killarney a week on, 6 days on, from the game in Inishkeen, and then go to Croke Park a week later. At some point, you're probably just playing too much football. And I know they're using subs and everything like that, but I wonder, is in this particular case, when Armagh had maybe, like, they lost the game, by a freak, but it easily could have went to extra time. They also should have put the game beyond, in the last 2 minutes of the game, they had probably 2 possessions that should have ended the game, and they didn't do it. Just wonder, are they leggy, like?
Possibly. Okay. Maybe. But again, yeah. Again, I don't know. Like, are we going to see in the 2027 Ulster Championship Donegal and Armagh both accidentally losing in the quarterfinal and being, oh no, we're not in Ulster. We're straight into the All-Ireland series and don't have to go through a grueling provincial campaign. We know how important it was to win an Ulster title. I'm kind of half joking there.
But if you get that first round game, the preliminary quarterfinal, like, it's a long road, you know?
An awful long road. And, like, if Armagh come through Killarney with a win and relatively unscathed on the injury front, by God, they're going to be in a ferociously good position. But they could be taken down this weekend very easily by the All-Ireland champions. And it's class. We have the last two All-Ireland champions, the last one under the old rules, the first one under the new rules, taking each other on this weekend. And I just think, I'm not complaining about it. I just think it's going to be absolutely unbelievable. And we'll see where we stand after it. But it's such fine lines. Like, and this is the close call of the week. And I think the Hooter and the Clock debated in
this
game.
This is the Hawkeye the Hawkeye moment of the week, which we look at for the any close call that's got the country talking. And once again in the football season, it's been a kind of a straightforward, obvious one, like, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And just for clarity, there was a clock in Inishkeen. there was a hooter in Inishkeen. You could hear the hooter on Colm Corrigan's commentary in LMFM in the background amidst the loud madness. There was a clock over Sam Mulroy's shoulder. He didn't know about it until 30 seconds to go in the game when he asked Conor Lane how long is left. And Lane pointed over his shoulder and said, look at the clock. So it was that small that the players were barely aware of it. Now, this is not Inishkeen's fault. Inishkeen is a fabulous little setup in Monaghan. The fact that they're hosting county games is fantastic. This is not their fault. This is, I'm going to say this really clearly, Croke Park's fault. This is the GAA's fault. This is certain people in HQ not giving this the backing it should get. And I actually think Jarlett Burns, in one of his last things that he should do as GAA president, is probably appoint somebody to take charge of the hooter, because it's been voted through on a 67%, 68% vote. It actually was voted through over a decade ago on an 80% rule, and it actually slipped away quietly into the distance. This has been voted through again, and it's in play, but it needs to be regulated. It needs to be done properly. The same hooter, the same clock, in every game where there's going to be a championship game in 2027, it needs to be there. And they need to own it, Croke Park. They need to own it and make sure it happens, because it's not good enough that we're still having debates about, should we keep the hooter? The hooter is in. It's taking time out of the referee's hands. It's allowing us to have these incredible, iconic scores in David Clifford's buzzer beater before halftime. Tomás Kennedy's late winner on the hooter. The incredible score, the incredible drama of poor Eton Rafferty dropping that shot into the net. If Conor McCall actually gets a paw on that, like, who knows what it would have counted like. It would have been
the
way more controversial.
Sideline.
We had his sideline, you know, like from Jack McCarron. Like, Jack McCarron, yes, okay, we don't want the GA eating itself on a weekend like this when there's hurling, there's Tatch and Cup, there's football. But they're also competing with the Knicks, with the World Cup, with Shinnecock Hills and the golf this weekend. And the GA, if they're selfish, should be looking at what the drama that the hooter is bringing. And you're looking at kids who consume media on TikTok, on Instagram, and this is how they watch the GAA. This is how they get to know their heroes. Embrace the hooter, because you're still having absolute meltdowns over timekeeping in hurling when the referee is in charge of the time.
Yeah,
like it wasn't quite, you know, a sit down protest after the Munster final at the weekend. But like the Cork players were devastated, and I think it's on them. They should have found out how long was left, but they were devastated. They thought they had longer to go. If there was clarity over clock and a hooter, if there was clarity in the stadium, we wouldn't have had that, and we would have got more drama. So I just think, like, get over it, embrace it, invest whatever has to be invested, and make sure it's across the board in county games.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's straightforward, and there's no argument for me, except for to say that it was that big an issue this weekend. I think it was an issue for spectators and for media and people broadcasting the game. Everything that happened in the way Armagh defended that play, in the way that Mulroy panicked to get the shot off from way too far out when he didn't have it, and obviously the fact that, like, it was way short and it was just a mistake by Rafferty, suggested to me that everybody knew exactly how long was to go and when you had to get the shot off. If not, then it's just coincidentally, you know, that he just decided to have a hack from, you know, 48 metres, you know, without real balance or anything like that, and under pressure. I just don't think he would have done it. He seemed to know exactly where he was.
Yeah.
And I think on that clock, there was 3 seconds at that stage, wasn't there?
There was, I think there was
when he kicked
maybe
it.
Two. Yeah. When he kicked it, maybe two. Yeah. But, like, you know, Rafferty, if a loud player touched it, it would have been different. But Rafferty's the only one who touches it and it goes in. Like, but we had a debate on the football pod, myself and James did, and Paddy, about the Armagh defending there. I actually think they did really well.
The way they pushed, they forced him into a panicky, way too far out shot that he was never going to score, you know?
Like, Sam Mulroy, like the man we're going to get to with our start of the week, Stephen Sherlock. Sam Mulroy is one of the top marksmen in the country. We know he's the one you want taking the shot, but he cannot, like, he's one of the most athletic, powerful, impressive footballers in the country, and he cannot get an inch that he wants to get a proper shot away, and chaos ensues, and what a win for Loud, and they deserve to be up in sixth.
Yeah, the credit to Loud there is that they were in that position where they could get a bit of luck at the end, you know, because they played really well. Some of the scores they got were brilliant all the way through the game.
Yeah.
and a great atmosphere and everything like that. And they've been such a great story. And their turn, me and you have talked about this already, their turnaround from what they did against Dublin in the Leinster Championship to what they've done in the last two games is a massive credit to their management team and to the players themselves. The one match we haven't talked about yet was Donegal and Cork. Donegal have dropped three places to four. Cork have gone up to five. Cork's turnaround since the Munster final, where we give out shit about them as well. It seems to be a bit of a trend here. Us lambasting a team in the power rankings kicks them on to All-Ireland contendership. But you've got your Harvey Norman stat of the week from this game. But just overall, just this was the biggest shock for me, I have to say.
It was incredible. And I'm not sure there's a huge amount of Cork fans that would have told you that they were going to make the trip up to Ballybuffet to expect them to see Cork win. But that is just the beauty of this championship. And Cork put themselves in the position, they had the right game plan. Again, not televised off Broadway. So I'm relying on Jonathan Higgins, who was covering it for Off the Ball, and listening into the likes of Morris Brosnan, who covered the game, and listening into Oisin Kelly on Highland Radio for how I've consumed it this week. But the Cork game plan kind of caused Donegal a lot of bother. They stayed in the mix. They had the wind in the second half. And then on the highlights, you can just see the fabulous two-pointers from Luke Fahey and Tommy Walsh. But the stat of the week goes to a man who wasn't playing inter-county football last year. And credit to Owen Cormacan and the Irish Examiner for this. They've crunched the numbers. And the article, Clockwork Orange, had a two-point king, Stephen Sherlock, has reignited the Rebels. And they've done the numbers on it. Stephen Sherlock has kicked 55 two-pointers between club and county in the last 18 months. He did not play inter-county football in 2025. So you're just counting the inter-county, or the club season for the Bears in 2025 and the inter-county season to date in 2026. It's incredible stuff. And I've watched this guy up close with the Bears in the off-season. The 16 points out of 20 that he kicked against Dingle, and one of the greatest performances I've seen by a losing player against Meath this year. Like, he's caused them woeful trouble, like, time after time. You know, 4 points, 14 points, 9 points. And then at the weekend, 9 points again. And just his accuracy from distance. There's a difference, right? A two-point free is one thing, and you got to have the bottle and the quality to be able to do it. But the speed of some of his two-pointers that he kicks, when he's dropping the ball from hand to foot, there is just an art to that, to be able to snap that shot off when you know there's going to be bodies throwing themselves at you. And they know that you're the man that they want. And Cork's tactic at the weekend of flooding the inside of 21 with 8, 9, 10 bodies and leaving a couple of shooters outside made it very difficult for Donegal at times in their slow attacks. And probably a template for certain games this year. I'm not quite sure it'll work in Croke Park, but by God, Cork, the Cork footballers, they have earned their place in the All-Ireland quarterfinals. Like, what an unbelievable win.
Absolutely. So we have 2 Galway, 5 Cork, 6 Louth and 7 Tyrone as the 4 teams already in the All-Ireland quarterfinals. In the last 12 round 3 qualifiers, we have 1 Kerry versus 3 Armagh. That's fun. We have 4 Donegal versus 12 Dublin. Still sounds strange. We have 13 Meath versus... Oh, sorry, it's in Mayo, isn't it? So we have 9 Mayo versus 13 Meath. And we have... what's the other game? 10 8. Westmeath versus 8 Monaghan. And that, again, is in Clonus, actually, as every game this season seems to be.
I think we've got 3 50-50 games there. And... It's very difficult to not say that Donegal are going to go off at least 5 or 6 point favours against the Dubs.
If Donegal don't win this, they'll have lost 3 out of 4 championship games this year, which is hard to imagine given what they did in Killarney.
Given what they did last year for 98% of the year.
And even the league, just their general form line for them to go and hammer the All-Ireland champions but lose all 3 other games. It's hard to imagine. It is
hard to imagine. And maybe, like, look, there's been questions internally in Donegal, and I've been reading the local papers, and there's a brilliant local media scene in Donegal, and they've been questioning the depth at times in the Donegal pack, and maybe certain fellas are let go a little early from the intercounty scene. There's quite a young bench they have, that maybe there needs to be a bit of movement in terms of their finishers, like we're seeing with Tyrone and with Donegal, with Armagh, that maybe they need to save one or two of their forwards with a bit of pace to come in with 20 minutes to go. Oisin Gallan was brilliant the last day, withdrawn seemingly because he had cramp. I think Allan should be starting, but I wonder, does somebody else have to come in off the bench and inject a little bit of speed and pace down the stretch? Again, Donegal are absolutely still contenders. I think they're going to be a different animal in Croke Park, but they are now behind the eight ball having to play 3 weekends in a row.
If they have to play 3 weekends in a row, that remains to be seen. But yeah, Tommy, we went way over. I'm getting looks in the window here. But I will say, we flagged this weekend from as soon as that format came out. We knew there was 8 games, all with a huge amount on the line. We'll never have that again until this round next year. We won't have as much to talk about in other weeks. We also had Talca Cup quarterfinals. So there was an unbelievable amount of football to dig into. We'll keep it a little bit shorter next week. And if Matthew bothers to turn up, I'm sure it'll be good omens for Westmead against Monaghan.
For sure. No, really enjoyed that. I think we covered a lot. And like, what a championship. And let's just hope the next couple of weeks in hurling and football continue in the same vein.
100%. Of course, if you disagree with any of Tommy's rankings, you can get in touch with us to win tickets to the hurling quarterfinals, either one of them, in Thurles this weekend. With thanks to Harvey Norman, just get us on WhatsApp 087-9180-180 or enter at offtheball.com if you want to email them to us. The Power Rankings at Off The Ball are with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA. Myself, Tommy and Matthew will be back next week, next Tuesday, and we'll have hurling Power Rankings next week as well after the quarterfinals with myself, Will and Rachel.
The Power Rankings on Off The Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.